So I thought I would do three more carols. The first one is very obvious. It's the 12 Days of Christmas.
On the first day of Christmas, my true love gave to me a partridge in a pear tree. On the second day of Christmas, my true love gave to me two turtle doves and a partridge in a pear tree. On the third day of Christmas, my true love gave to me three French hens, two turtle doves, and a partridge in a pear tree. On the fourth day of Christmas, my true love gave to me four calling birds, three French hens, two turtle doves, and a partridge in a pear tree. On the fifth day of Christmas, my true love gave to me five golden rings. Four calling birds, three French hens, two turtle doves, and a partridge in a pear tree. On the sixth day of Christmas, my true love gave to me six geese a-laying, five golden rings. Four calling birds, three French hens, two turtle doves, and a partridge in a pear tree. On the seventh day of Christmas, my true love gave to me seven swans a-swimming, six geese a-laying, five golden rings. Four calling birds, three French hens, two turtle doves, and a partridge in a pear tree. On the eighth day of Christmas, my true love gave to me eight maids a-milking, seven swans a-swimming, six geese a-laying, five golden rings. Four calling birds, three French hens, two turtle doves, and a partridge in a pear tree. On the ninth day of Christmas, my true love gave to me nine lords a-leaping, eight maids a-milking, seven swans a-swimming, six geese a-laying, five golden rings. Four calling birds, three French hens, two turtle doves, and a partridge in a pear tree. On the tenth day of Christmas, my true love gave to me 10 ladies dancing, 9 lords a-leaping, 8 maids a-milking, 7 swans a-swimming, 6 geese a-laying, 5 golden rings. 4 calling birds, 3 French hens, 2 turtle doves, and a partridge in a pear tree. On the 11th day of Christmas, my true love gave to me 11 pipers piping, 10 ladies dancing, 9 lords a-leaping, 8 maids a-milking, 7 swans a-swimming, 6 geese a-laying, 5 golden. Four calling birds, three French hens, two turtle doves, and a partridge in a pear tree. On the 12th day of Christmas, my true love gave to me 12 drummers drumming, 11 pipers piping, 10 ladies dancing, 9 lords a-leaping, 8 maids a-milking, 7 swans a-swimming, 6 geese a-laying, 5 golden rings. 4 calling birds, 3 French hens, 2 turtle doves, and a partridge in a pear tree.
loving heart and from him. Raise, raise the song on high, the virgin sings her lullaby. Joy, oh joy, for Christ is born, the babe, the son of Mary.
Child is this from Jill Johnson. And now, while shepherds watch their flocks by night, the choir of St. Mary's.
Christian News Bulletin. New Life reports that Britain's Houses of Parliament were among many landmarks in the UK, Ireland, Iraq and the Philippines to be floodlit in red on a Wednesday last month to highlight the persecution of faith groups for their peacefully held beliefs. The Red Wednesday initiative is in its second year and has been pioneered by Aid to the Church in Need. This year it was also organised by Christian Solidarity Worldwide. Both charities advocate chiefly for persecuted Christians. The Daily Telegraph has reported on the signs displayed by Christian youths during schoolies' activities in Australia. Signs included, "Ain't no high than the Most High," and "Jesus loves you." Youth for Christ's National Missions Director, David Ridley, said that the signs were evangelical, but they were not bashing people with a Bible. According to CBN Christian World News, the trailer for a new major film about the life of the Apostle Paul has been released online. The movie, titled Paul, Apostle of Christ, brings to life the New Testament story of the man who went from persecutor of the church to its most powerful proponent.
Coming up at a quarter to nine, we have a special, and our story at quarter to nine is going to be the first Christmas in Australia. Find out about the First Fleet and their first Christmas in Australia and how it went. So that'll be very interesting to hear. But before then, we've got some carols, and here's Paul Baloche, Hark the Herald Angels Sing.
Sing glory to
That was Faye Streak with a modern adaptation of Silent Night, and before that, Paul Baloche with Hark the Herald Angels Sing, but again, a modern adaptation. Coming up, we've got the story of the first Christmas in Australia, but right now we've got Australian Anna Maria Laspina with Sing With Me This Christmas.
Christmas celebrated on Australian soil was the 11-month-old colony of Sydney Christmas in 1788. The bush around Sydney Cove had been cleared, and the thoroughfare that is now George Street was a fairly well-defined track. A house had been erected for Governor Phillip, while wooden houses had been put up for the officers and men of the regiment. The convicts were housed in wattle and daub huts. The colony numbered about 1,000. We know what happened on that first Christmas day in Australia in 1788 because of the diary of David Collins, a captain in the Marines. He wrote, "Christmas Day was observed with proper ceremony. Mr. Johnson preached a sermon adapted to the occasion, and the major part of the officers of the settlement were afterward entertained at dinner by the governor. Now, Mr. Johnson was the Christian chaplain of the First Fleet, the Reverend Richard Johnson. He had no church building at the time, and the sermon was preached in the open air. The weather must have been fine and hot in the Australian summer, a stark contrast to the bitterly cold English winters. The soldiers and convicts were drawn up on the north bank of the Tank Stream in the vicinity of Sydney's present Bridge and Pitt Streets. Most of the officers were later entertained at dinner by Governor Phillip, so in full dress uniforms they arrived at Arthur Phillip's house to enjoy roast goose and to toast King George III in brandy and port wine. We can assume that vegetables, fish, salt beef and salt pork were consumed by the officers. The highlight, in addition to the plum pudding, might have been roast pig. We gather this from the dispatch Phillip had sent home a couple of months earlier, in which he wrote, "One sheep only remains of 70 which I had purchased at the Cape, but the pigs are flourishing." Food supplies were not yet low through non-arrival of store ships, so although the Christmas fare was rough, there was still plenty of it. The convicts ate salt meat and biscuit, but were allowed a special ration of rum. By the time the second Christmas of 1789 came around, a two-storey government house of brick had been completed on what is now the corner of Bridge and Phillip Streets. For most Sydneysiders, the Christmas fare was poorer than the previous year. The weekly rations had just been reduced to 2.2 kilos of flour, 0.9 kilos of salt pork and about a litre of peas. The governor and his staff fared better. They sat down to a Christmas dinner that included three turtles and a large cabbage grown by convicts at Parramatta. Thereafter, food supplies in the colony gradually improved, and citizens seemed more concerned with obtaining liquor for their Christmas revelry. In 1791, the fourth Christmas day, Christian celebratory services of the birth of Christ were held in both Sydney and Parramatta for the first time. Supplies were low, and the best that Phillip could do for this Christmas was to give an extra pound of flour to each woman in the settlement. Sydney Town's first Christmas picnic, of which we have record, was held in 1806, 18 years after landing, when Captain John and Mrs. MacArthur wined and dined many friends on their grant of land. One fair visitor was moved so much as to call this serene and tranquil spot the repose of the soul. The Christmas of 1824 was memorable in that it was the first occasion on which the Aboriginal Australian people were officially invited. No less than eight tribes were invited to a Christmas feast at Parramatta that year. They were entertained by Governor Sir Thomas Brisbane. About 600 were present, and the feast consisted of 400 loaves, 22 monstrous dishes of roast beef, a large cask of soup, several tubs of potatoes, 13 huge plum cakes, and a hogshead of grog. By the end of the 19th century, Christmas Day in Australia consisted of church services to celebrate the birth of Christ, followed by large celebratory meals. These were then followed by community dancing and plenty of drinking. Christmas in Australia, a joyful and celebratory part of Australia's Christian heritage. Christians
rejoice, it's Christmas time. It's Christmas time.
That song was Born is the King from Hillsong up in Sydney. And not the usual Hillsong kind of song, but they did a great job with that. Born is the King, and that was Christ the Messiah, of course. Now, Songs of Hope is on the web. Our web address is songsofhope883.com, and up there you'll find recordings of different segments of the program going back months and months, and there'll be hymns and songs and prayers and life stories and talks and Christian News Bulletin. It's all there for your enjoyment and in case you missed anything. Bruce Mitchell's in the studio getting ready his Mighty Basketball program, and that will start in about 5 minutes' time. We'll go out now from Songs of Hope. Till next week, we'll go out with Sylvie Palladino and Mary's Boy Child.
Hark now, hear the angels sing, a new king born today, and man will live forevermore. Because of Christmas Day. A long time ago in Bethlehem, so the Holy Bible says, Mary's boy child, Jesus Christ, was born on Christmas Day. Hark now, hear the angels sing, a new king born today, and man. See a bright new shining star. Them hear a choir sing. The music seemed to come from afar. Now Joseph and his wife Mary come to Bethlehem that night. Them find no place to born her child, not a single room was inside. Hark now, hear the angels sing, a new king born today, and man will because of Christmas Day. By and by they find a little nook in a stable all forlorn.